for they were not fools, and the village needed Elias Post more than the other hunters. No one wanted to be cast out, to have to go to the city for work. There were no good endings there. Everyone knew that. When young girls ran off to Darien, their parents even held a simple funeral, knowing it was much the same. Perhaps to warn the other girls, too. The plague had arrived that summer on the cart of a potion seller from the city, or so they said. It had first become a scourge there, where people lived too close and rubbed cheek and jowl with fleas and lice. No doubt it was a punishment for sinful couplings. You did not have to live long to know that healthy lives had hardly any pleasure in them. This plague began with rashes, and for most of them it was no worse than that. A few days of fever and itching before good health returned. They all began with that hope, only for some to lie cold and staring after a week of misery and pain. It was a cruel thing that year, and it knew no favourites. When the proctors of the village met that autumn, they were not surprised to see Elias's seat standing empty. They murmured the name of Elias Post in sorrow and pity then. They had all heard. Wyburn was a small place. His son Jack had gone in just a week. A little boy of black hair and laughter who'd been struck down and snatched from life, leaving a piece of river ice in his father's heart. The hunter had aged as many years as the boy had lived in that last night, sitting with him. Towards the end, Elias had walked a mile to pray at the temple outside Wyburn that stood alone on the road leading to the city. He'd made his offering, a wisp of golden hay from the harvest. The goddess of the reaping had turned her face from him, spinning on her iron chain. By the time he trudged back across the fields to his house near the village square, the boy was cold and still. Elias had sat with him for a time, just looking. When the sun rose, his wife and daughters were weeping and trying not to scratch the welts that had risen on their skin, dumb with fear, pale as plucked flesh. Elias had kissed them all, tasting the salt of bright sweat. He'd hoped for the plague to take him, and when he slept for a while and woke again, it was almost a relief to discover his own welt swelling, his forehead damp. His wife had wailed to see him sick, but he'd gathered her in with their two daughters, a knot of arms and tears and grief. "And what would I do on my own, my love? You and the girls are all I have left, now that Jack is gone. I had one chance to be happy, and it was taken from me. I will not be left alone, Beth. No. Wherever we are going, I will walk with you. What does it matter now, love? We'll go after Jack. We'll catch him up. We'll fall into step beside him wherever he is. He'll be pleased to see us. You know he will. Why, I can see his face now." As darkness came, Elias found he could not bear to sit and listen to breaths crackling in the silence. He rose from his chair and stood for a time at the window, looking out on a moonlit road. It was an early dark then, and he knew the tavern would be open. Yet it was not ale he wanted, nor clear spirits. He had no coin to waste on those, and no taste for it. There were other things to be found in the light and the noise of a crowd. He knew he would be thrown out or even killed by frightened men if they saw the raised patches on his arms and stomach. He grimaced, uncaring, driven wild by the itching. Perhaps it was murder he was considering, though he did not think it was. Some men were taken, others were spared. That was just the way of it then. They knew it was spread by touch. No one really understood the manner of it. There had been plagues before. They rose in summers and burnt out in the cold months that followed. In some ways, it was as ordinary as the seasons, though that was no comfort to him. Elias shrugged. An old shirt and a long coat would hide the marks. There was a patch of swelling under.